The Sports Interview with Anne Liguori podcast is brought to you by iBeCool Luxury Athleisure Wear for Men and Women, featuring the exclusive ice-fill cooling technology, along with SPF 50 plus sun protection. Look your best. Protect your skin. Visit ibkul.com to learn more. Welcome to Sports Interview with Anne Liguori, and my guest is Bobby Barnes, PGA Director of Golf here at Innisbrook, and boy, just got done playing Copperhead. What a perfect day. Just an incredible golf course. I'm thrilled after covering the Valspar so many years, Bobby, to finally get out and play Copperhead. What a great golf course.
It is a great golf course. It's definitely one of the favorites on the PGA Tour, and I'm so glad that you got the opportunity to go out and play, because if you cover the Valspar for as many years as you have to get out, and like we were joking about before, you can see how easy the course is now.
Right. Not easy, but very fair. I have to say, it was in great shape. The greens rolled beautifully. They were very fair. It was challenging, but very fair. It's a par 71 for the pros, 7,209 yards, and it's been around for a while. It opened back in 1972.
Yeah, it's been around for a while, and I like what you said about it being fair. I think that's why it is so beloved on the PGA Tour with our members, with our guests, because, you know, it's a challenging golf course, but it's a fair golf course. And as you've seen today, if you keep it in the fairway, keep it out of the thick rough, and get on these nice slick greens, it can be a really enjoyable day. But I think I like what you said. It is a very fair golf course, but it's a challenging golf course at the same time.
Yes, I mean, you really have to know where to place the ball off the tee. Larry Packard, the course architect, I just love his story, but he's known for the double dog legs. Yep. And if you don't know where to place that ball, you know, off the tee, and then that second shot for amateur players, those are the toughest holes, right? You really have to place the ball accurately.
Yeah, you're right. Larry Packard's signature double dog legs is what he's known for, and it's very prevalent out here, not only on the Copperhead, but some of our other golf courses as well. So you're right, and I think that's, you know, I keep alluding back to why the PGA Tour players like it so much. It's fair, and it's not a bomber's golf course. We have had long hitters like Mark Calcavecchia. You know, we've had long hitters, but we've also had, you know, some of the shorter hitters on tour too. So you're right. It's one of those courses that you don't have to hit driver on. As a matter of fact, a lot of the guys that you see play, whether it be the PGA Tour, amateurs, members, it's kind of what's fun to play. But the Copperhead, it's not going to be a driver in your hand every hole, because like you said, the fairways are a premium. And, you know, some of these double dog legs, you're only going to get in trouble by hitting drivers. So, you know, when you play it a couple times, you start to kind of get a strategy on how to play some of these holes.
And I love how the holes have nicknames. You know, you enter 16, 17, and 18, the finishing holes, and it's called the Snake Pit. And you have the Moccasin, the Rattler, and the Copperhead. And I'm happy to say that I parred the Rattler and the Copperhead. I don't know if I could do that again, but, you know, it was fun. They're great finishing holes.
Yeah. We always say that the tournament's won and lost in the Snake Pit, especially on Sundays. Three pars on Sunday would not do you any harm playing in this tournament. So those are great scores to have. We did an interview a couple years ago, and I made the comment that I can't really remember a lot of birdies being made on 18. And it's one of those holes, the Snake Pit, like you said, the scary names, the Snake Pit statue. I mean, you really do feel like you're entering into a real good test of golf on those last holes. So kudos to you for making a couple pars.
Well, they do say it's one of the toughest finishing holes, those holes, on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, 16 usually ranks in the top five of the toughest par fours.
I didn't par 16, I can assure you.
So, but yeah, I mean, and 17 is a really good par three. And then, you know, 18, again, like we said, it's all you want. It's straight up the hill. And then you've got the grandstands, and you've got the pressure of, you know, as you look back at a lot of the years at Valspar, you know, the guys that are in contention that can par those last few holes are the ones that win, and the ones that don't are unfortunately the ones that don't. So it really is a good finishing test on a really great golf course.
I love what Paul Casey had to say. He said Copperhead probably is the most respected golf course on the Florida swing. And, you know, for Paul Casey to say that, obviously it means a lot. The players really do respect this golf course.
Yeah, and we take a lot of pride, and we appreciate those comments, because it is, like we've said, it's a fair golf course, but it's a challenging golf course, and it really does reward great shot making, and I think that's, you know, we take a lot of pride in the fact that I think usually every year when they do a locker room survey, the Copperhead usually ranks up in the top five of their favorite courses. And when you think about the likes of Augusta National and Pebble Beach and things like that, I mean, we're just really humbled to be even mentioned in those same conversations. So.
And I'm happy to see that Brooks Koepka is coming this year, and DJ, and you normally have a pretty good field, right?
Yeah, we're excited about the field, especially getting back into our March slot. We feel like that really brings out the best players in the world, and it's our favorite time of the year for sure. So yeah, we're really encouraged with some of the early entries, and I don't want to jinx us, but we're confident that we've got some more big names coming too.
Well, I feel like I'm talking to Brooks Koepka's younger brother. I'm sure you get that a lot. You look like Brooks Koepka, Bobby.
Well, thank you. I'm going to tell my wife that you said that tonight when I get home. So, no, I have gotten that comparison before, and, yeah, I wish I had his game.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Larry Packard. Boy, I did some research on Larry the other day, and he's really considered a pioneer. He was at the forefront of golf, of the golf explosion right after World War II, and his career started in the 40s. And I heard that he lived here the last 30 years of his life. So he was very proud of his work here.
Yeah, he was, and as he should be. He designed all four golf courses. I think he said in an interview one time that the Copperhead was his crown jewel. There's another golf course down the street that he also did. But, yeah, it was really cool. When I started here in 2009, he was actually a resident that lived here, and it was cool to see him. And we've got some monuments around the property. We've got a nice statue out in front of the Copperhead of him and his signature plaid jacket that's proudly hung in Packard Steakhouse that's named after Larry Packard. So he was definitely he was and is still very, you know, influential here on property, especially designing all 72 holes.
And I looked at the list of courses he designed, and not only in this country, but he designed internationally. And back then, that was a big deal. He went to Egypt and all over the world.
Yeah. And, you know, you hear a lot about Pete Dye and Tom Fazio, and rightfully so. But, you know, Larry Packard, I was impressed when I first saw the list, too. I mean, he designed, I think, over 100 golf clubs. And, you know, just seeing his work here, I'm always impressed when I see one. I'm like, oh, yeah, let's go play a Larry Packard. So, yeah, it's he did a great job. And as we said, you know, his signature was the double dog legs, and they're all over out here.
The double dog legs. I love it. And if you don't know where to hit the ball, you're in trouble. So you really, it's good if you have played the course a number of times to kind of get the feel of it. Talk a little bit about the signature hole and the rest of the golf course.
Yeah, there's so many good holes out here. I mean, we talked about number 16 being one of the toughest par fours on the tour. Hole number 5 on the front is a par 5 that goes up the hill that actually plays as one of the toughest par fives, which I thought was kind of interesting once. It's one of the few that only dog legs once, but that's a great hole. You know, 14 is, it always at least, used, it's our signature hole. It is a double dog leg par 5. It's really fun to watch the guys play. I would encourage anyone that's watching the Valspar to watch them putt on 14, because most of them have watch. It really challenges the guys and gives them something to shoot at and go for, and the ones that come up a little bit short will find the water, which, you know, on this golf course, there's not a ton of water. You know, we've got 2 and 3 on the front that have water. 5 really doesn't come into play. 16 it definitely does, and 13 it does. But again, it just speaks to the fairness and the greatness of this golf course, that it's not tricked out. There's not a ton of OB. There's not a ton of water. But it's going to give you everything you want.
Right. It's really enjoyable to play. I parred the 13th. And then the guys were telling me, yeah, they tucked that pin kind of down to the right when, you know, the pros play. And I can see where it would make a big difference with that pin placement in a different spot. But so what do amateurs need to know about these greens? Because I found some of the greens difficult to read.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, I will tell you that, you know, they're subtle, and they, some of them don't look like they're going to break as much as they do, and then vice versa. It's one of those things, I think you just have to come out and play it a little bit. You know, in 2015, when we did the restoration, we actually softened a lot of the slopes on the greens, because when it was designed in 1972, like you mentioned, A lot of undulation was actually used for drainage. And so in 2015, when we did the restoration, we actually cored out and built up all the greens and softened up some of the slopes. So it was great for us because it actually added pin locations as we expanded the greens as well. But, you know, it's one of those things because they are so subtle. It's almost trial and error. You almost have to come out and just kind of learn them a little bit. We're actually looking at maybe getting a caddy program here, and I think that would be fantastic because, you know, any of the really tough golf courses you go and play, that caddy really helps you with reading greens. So we're hoping to get that in the future.
That'd be really great. Then I didn't have to bother you don't have to bother the guys who have played it a number of times. Which way is this going to break, guys? So let's talk about the Island course, because we played that yesterday, and that's a tough track. And a lot of people say that course is actually tougher than Copperhead, and I can see where it would get that distinction.
Yeah, as we were talking about earlier, we host tournaments all the time on the Copperhead and the Island, and the Island usually averages about a stroke higher than the Copperhead, which we were talking to a marketing team 3 or 4 years ago, and they said, you know, your property is really unique in the standpoint, almost like a Baltistraw, where you've hosted a PGA Tour event on the Copperhead for 30 years, but a lot of your guests and members will say, hey, wow, that Island course, you need to go check it out. Some people like it better. Some people think it's harder. You really can't lose with either one. The Island course hosted a LPGA event for 5 years. It hosted U.S. amateurs, Phil Mickelson, Lee Jansen won USAMs on the Island course. So it really is a nice, you know, 1-2 punch here to come and play the Copperhead and the Island. The North and South are great too, but the Copperhead and Island are really that PGA, LPGA, U.S. amateur level course. And as you saw, they're both, you know, the Island, we call it the Island for a reason. And you get a little off, and you're going to be in the water and the woods, and it's a little bit more penalizing than the Copperhead. So it's really nice to have both of those courses on property.
I'm sure that's a debate that you hear a lot about. Which course is harder, right?
Exactly.
I put it on social media the other day, that I played the Island, and a lot of people say that's harder than Copperhead. And, you know, some guy's like, no way, from the tips at Copperhead, it's a lot more difficult. Well, thank you. I'm not playing the tips at Copperhead, nor would I ever play the tips at Copperhead. But I'm sure that's an age-old debate.
It is a debate, and we have fun with it between the staff and the members and the guests and things of that nature. But, again, the tell of the tape for me is that tournament after tournament after tournament, the Island does score about a shot higher.
Wow.
So I'm gonna let that speak for itself.
Bobby, talk about your background. You've been in the golf business for a long time, and you've been here for a long time.
I have. I've been, I love golf. I was a late bloomer, and I did my PGA apprenticeship at Walt Disney World. And so I was a cast member for over 13 years. Yeah. My father actually opened up MGM Studios in 89 and is probably going to retire in a couple years. My wife still works for Disney. And
you were a cast member?
I was a cast member. Yeah.
Who were you?
I played the role of a golf professional. My wife and I were actually married on Disney's private island, Castaway Key, as well. So, yeah, I went to school at UCF. I actually did it backwards. I did my PGA apprenticeship and then went to school and finished up my degree. So I didn't play college golf, but I lived in the Orlando area for 15 years. And then, as we were talking about before, I moved over here in 2009. And I just love this property. I love this area. We get a lot of comparisons here at Innisbrook to like a Pinehurst because of the rolling hills and the pine trees. And, you know, we even talk about some of the nature and the fox squirrels and things like that. So it's just a really special place. So, 13, going on 13 years now. So that's kind of my background is 13 years at Disney and 13 years here. So a couple of really nice places.
Wow, that's fascinating. And you were born where?
I was born in Atkinson, Nebraska. I grew up a Cornhusker, and I always say it's a really fun place to live. And I just, being a golf pro and wanting to, you know, play golf all year round, I couldn't think of a better place to move than Florida. And obviously we had an attraction and affinity to Disney, so, here we are.
I love that background. So you mentioned the elevation here, which, you know, for a Florida golf course, that's so unique. You don't, you know, what did I read? The Island has like one of the second highest elevation points in Pinellas County, but you're not used to that elevation anywhere in Florida.
I'll never forget the first time I came over to the property, and we came out here pretty close to where we're at right now, and I looked down number one of the Copperhead, and it goes downhill. And then I look over to number 10, and it goes downhill. You're exactly right. Number 11 tee box on the island is the second highest point of elevation in Pinellas County. So I remember driving over here, and the second that you pull into the grounds here, you're like, whoa, where am I at? It's just a really special place, a really unique, beautiful piece of property with lots of nature, rolling hills, elevation, which makes it fun for golf, right? You get those side hill, downhill lies, and I knew immediately when I came into property, I was like, ooh, this is a place I could be at for a while. So
that's great. And here you are.
Here I am.
And I wanted to ask you about, you know, the Tampa Bay area. I mean, talk about how this place has exploded. I went to University of South Florida. Quite different than, you know, those days when I graduated. But you're talking about Tom Brady, Super Bowl champions, the Lightning. I mean, this seems to be the place to be now, Bobby.
It's like we're title town or something. Yeah. No, it really is. It is a special place. Tampa's really growing. You know, the Bucks make it a lot of fun. The Lightning, you know, who would ever have known that Tampa would be such a hockey town? The Rays have, you know, they've almost done the World Series the last couple of years. So it's really nice, and it's really fun working with Valspar. You know, Tracy West, the tournament director, does a great job of, you know, I've always said during Valspar that you don't even have to like golf. You can just come out here. There's always fun things to do and activities to do. So it's just all part of Tampa and how it's growing. And it really has become, you know, Tampa, St. Pete has become one of the really fun, and the weather's so great. And like you said, I mean, I'm a UCF grad, and when I go back there, I don't even recognize the place, and USF is a lot of the same. So it's a fun, exciting place to be around, and it's really nice to only be, you know, a half hour from downtown.
You mentioned the Valspar, Bobby, and it is such a colorful tournament. They really do a great job with signage, and you know, obviously they're a paint company, so they really do promote what they do beautifully. Talk a little bit about the tournament, because I understand that Innisbrook has hosted a PGA Tour event for, what, 25 years?
Yeah, we're actually going on almost a little over 30. So Valspar has really elevated the event. So when I came here in 2009, it was the transitions, and it was a great event. And like I said, Tracy and Valspar and Pro Link Sports have really elevated the event. You can see that in the concerts on Saturday that they've added, and all the cooking demonstrations, and they've really included the community and letting juniors in for free and military, and just making it a really fun, inviting place to come. And like I said, you don't even have to like golf to come out here and enjoy yourself. So I really applaud them for what they've done. They raise a lot of money for charities. They've really gotten the Tampa community, the St. Pete community, involved with the event, and it just makes it that much more enjoyable for everybody else. And yeah, it is. It's the most colorful event on tour.
I love it. It's so much fun to come to. We sit in the USF booth overlooking the 18th, and I've hosted my show from there many years, and it's just a perfect place to you know, talk golf and interview different players, and Tracy's been on the show. I want you to talk a little bit about some of your more memorable experiences at the Valspar. You've been here for a long time, and you've seen, I'm sure, some incredible play here.
Yeah. A lot of great memories here. Probably a couple that stand out the most is probably 2015, after we did the restoration, and Jordan Spieth winning, and how he won. I think it was on the fifth playoff hole. I think they played 18 twice, and then 16, and then he made that putt on 17. That was really cool. We were actually inside the ropes following him. So that really stood out to me. I've always been a big Jordan Spieth fan. And then 2018, when Tiger came, was probably the pinnacle. You know, like you said, I've lived here for a while. When Tiger Woods announced that he was coming, you could not walk into a restaurant, a grocery store, without hearing somebody say Tiger, Valspar, Copperhead, Innisbrook. It was just such an electric time. And then for him to come out and play the way he did, and, you know, we were talking about the snake pit earlier. He needed to birdie 18 to force a playoff, and wasn't able to do that. But I just, the galleries, the buzz, the electricity. And then for him, too, that was kind of his comeback, where he started playing golf again, and, you know, later won the Masters the following year. So those are probably my two top moments, when Jordan won and when Tiger came.
And I can't let you go without asking about the instruction and, you know, all the practice facilities here, and what else you have to offer golfers who come to Innisbrook.
Yeah, it's a great place. It's a 900-acre facility. You can come in the gates here. You don't have to have a car. You don't have to touch your clubs. We have four fantastic golf courses to play. We have three great restaurants, pools, tennis, you know, where the Loch Ness pool is at. That's got the water slides. I mean, spa, if you need a muscle massage after you played golf for multiple days. It's not only a place that you can come and do a lot of things with just the golfers, but you can bring your families and it's just, it's like I've said it a few times, it's a really special place and there's just lots to do. And you know, I think it's evident we have groups that have been coming here for 25-30 years, and you know, to see that kind of patronage and loyalty to come back year after year after year, I would just say, if you know, if you haven't been here, you've got to come try it.
Perfect. I can see it in your face. You love it here. You have a passion for Innisbrook, and it's always a pleasure talking with you. Thanks so much for being on Sports Interview.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for coming out. I'm glad you got to play the Copperhead. It's
finally. The Sports Interview with Anne Liguori podcast was brought to you by Ivy Cole Luxury Athleisure Wear for Men and Women, featuring the exclusive Iceville cooling technology along with SPF 50 plus sun protection. Look your best. Protect your skin. Visit IBKOL.com to learn more.